Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And I want to mention before we get into our study here about Wednesday and the vote down in Columbus. Exciting news there. And also some things to pray about and more action that we need to take there. So I'll get to that in just a minute. But also want to thank everybody for prayers and continue to pray for us, Pastor Lutz, Pastor Risnacko, and all the ones you listen to here on AM 1220, The Word. We need your prayer. The day that in which we live, I mean, we see things happening that we never thought would be happening. The threats against God's people just seem to be increasing every day. And it's time that we need to pray that God would raise up people with boldness, ready to go out, ready to make a difference in the world. I mentioned, I think it was last Sunday night on my Sunday night program, we'll pray here in just a minute, but in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, talking about the way that we're supposed to be praying and things, talking about the battle that we're in, Ephesians 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And he starts going through the armor, and let me jump down to verse 17, where he says, and take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he says this in verse 18, the sentence that started in verse 17 continues, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. If you have a pastor that's preaching the Word of God faithfully, I want you to pray for that man and pray, because he's an ambassador in bonds, and pray that he can speak boldly as he ought to speak. Pastor Lutz, it was just on here. Pray for him that he can speak boldly as he ought to speak. And Pastor Risnacko, that'll be up next, pray for him that he can speak boldly as he ought to speak. And pray for me that I can speak boldly as I ought to speak. This, I think, as I see what's happening in the world around us and read the news, I think that more than ever this year, this ought to be something that we ought to keep first and foremost. We are in a spiritual battle in this country, and we need to pray one for another. And we need to pray for pastors. We need to pray for Christian leaders that are out there, that we can speak boldly as we ought to speak. And so please do pray for us. Well, let's go ahead and open our program with prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for your watch care over us, Lord. Thank you for your blessing on Wednesday. And we do pray that you would continue to bless, use us for your glory. Help us to speak boldly as we ought to speak, Lord. And again, we just give you the thanks, the honor, and the glory for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I was talking to Pastor Lutz as we were going, switching places here in the studio, said just before Wednesday, I was reading Psalm 44, and he said, oh, you're going to talk on that today? Actually, not really planning on it. I think I'm going to do that on our Sunday night program. We'll be on Sunday night, 10 o'clock till midnight, and that way I have more time to do it justice. But Wednesday, of course, was the vote in the Ohio House in regards to whether or not they would override the veto, the governor's veto of the SAFE Act. That's House Bill 68. And so we had that vote on Wednesday, and we had 65 votes for overriding the governor's veto. And what was amazing with that is that's more votes than what voted for it and who voted for it in the first place. And so we actually gain some people there. And so I really am thankful for God's people praying, and for those that were down there. Some people here in the area know Pastor Dan Wolven. He was down there. Chris Long, who's on the radio here, with Ohio Christian Alliance, and of course Dan Wolven's with the Wake Ohio, and also Ohio Value Voters. And there is a number of people down there, and it's we had, I think, where we were sitting in the galley, there was about five of us there, and there was probably another five, six elsewhere. We gathered together in the rotunda afterwards, and just celebrating the vote. And, you know, there was some concern on several aspects of this. One was, would we lose some Republicans who voted for the bill? And we didn't have that many to lose. I think we needed a minimum of 60 votes in order to vote to override to be successful. And so we were hoping we wouldn't get anything less than 61, but we got 65. What a blessing. What a blessing indeed. And as we were doing that, there was, of course, a number of opposition that was there in the State House. A lot of trans and LGBTQ activists filling the galley and accosting people in the lobby and things like that. But, of course, we had an opportunity to pray with Representative Gary Click, who's also a pastor himself and a sponsor of the SAFE Act. And we had an opportunity to pray with him before the House began its session. And let me tell you, when the final vote was cast, the trans activists and the LGBTQ activists, they erupted in jeers and cursing and insults, and it was something else. The hatred, the absolute hatred, where Brother Wolven and Brother Long and I were sitting, we had a bunch of them right behind us. I'm thankful that all they did was jeer and stomp out. They left. They had some security in there. I was looking around. I could see some of the plainclothes security in the galley keeping an eye on things, because the speaker had to gavel several times to get them to be quiet. The Democrats trying to get people to vote against the bill or against the veto, just the nonsense, some of the things that they said, just the outright lies, and then accusing the Republicans of nothing but lies. One of the representatives actually, I think they broke protocol doing it, said, and the sponsor of the bill is only doing it for money, and went on a tirade insulting Gary Click. And, you know, it's just something. And also some of the things that were mentioned, you know, it was very evident that the activist behind us had no knowledge of the issues involved, and no knowledge. They several times things were said by the Republicans in support of the veto override, and you would hear these people in the back going, "Well, I've never heard of that before. Oh, they're just making that up. That's not true. I've never heard that. No, nobody said that." And it just their level of awareness of things that we've talked about in this program, a lot of our listeners are aware of. And then beyond the talking points that they've been fed, they didn't know much. So, again, appreciate all the prayers of God's people going into this. Now, we need to be in prayer even more, because even though the House voted by a tremendous majority to overturn the governor's veto, it's not overturned yet. The House took the first vote because the bill originated in the House. After all, it was House Bill 68. And this bill is to protect young people in the state of Ohio from being experimented on and given all of these drugs and surgical procedures that they do in the trans pipeline there. And it also incorporates the Save Women's Sports movement or act to protect women in Ohio's schools, grade schools. Mostly it would be concern in the junior high, high school, and colleges from having men who were pretending to be women in their locker rooms and competing in their sports and taking the titles that should belong to women away from them. But at any rate, the bill, as I said, it originated in the House, and it was the governor's veto was overridden by the House, but the Senate also has to override it because the Senate had made some changes to the bill as well, and plus they have to weigh in on it. And so they're scheduled to meet on the 24th, Wednesday the 24th. So pray for the Ohio Senate. Pray for those that'll be down there on the 24th. The governor, no doubt, is working the phones. He was working the phones, trying to arm twist and cajole the representatives into voting against the overriding the veto. No doubt, he's doing the same thing with the Senate. There's much less in the Senate of a margin to work with because there's fewer people there. So do pray for the Senate. And pray for the vote. So far, everything I've heard is the Senate is solid on this, that they believe that they will overturn the governor's veto in the Senate on the 24th. If that happens, then I believe it'll be 90 days and the SAFE Act will take effect in the state of Ohio. Probably there's going to be people challenging aspects of it in the courts. That's probably a given. Now is not the time to sit back. Now is not the time to relax. Now is not the time to stop praying. And now is not the time to stop contacting your state senators. And be sure and contact them, encourage them to vote to override the governor's veto of House Bill 68 on the 24th. And while you're at it, contact your representative. If they voted to override the governor's veto, contact them and thank them for it. They need to know that you appreciate what they did. I contacted my representative, Representative Bill Romer, and urged him to vote to override it. And then after he did, I contacted him and told him that I appreciated what he did. I thanked him for his override vote. And you know, he actually called me personally to thank me for thanking him. And we had a chance to talk about some other things that are upcoming. So do thank your representatives that voted to override the governor's veto of House Bill 68 on Wednesday. And keep in prayer for the Senate's override vote on the 24th. Well, I wanted to mention that, keep you up to date on what's going on there. We'll spend some more time on this. I want to spend some time on Psalm 44 on Sunday night because go ahead and read that. And I needed something before going down there. And the Lord just saw to it that I was on Psalm 44 in my reading. I have a reading schedule, reading through the Bible, and Psalm 44 was my psalm for Tuesday. And it was exactly what I needed to read prior to going down to Columbus on Wednesday. And so we'll be talking about that, Lord willing, on this coming Sunday. But in the meantime, I want to get back to the millennial kingdom. We got partly there. We started discussing the millennial kingdom here on the radio last week, and there's always so many things going on, it's hard to get to everything. But let me jump over to the millennial kingdom here. And again, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you go there. I've got a little synopsis of what happened on Wednesday down in Columbus that you can see there, and there's links to our past programs, number of other things there, as well as links to our homepage for the our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And of course, we're in Richfield, Ohio, and more information about that at the end of the program, but we'd love to have you come out and visit us. We have Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock, and 7 to 9, we'll be talking about what happened in Columbus as well tonight at our Bible study. And so if you're not doing anything, we'd love to have you visit us at our Bible study tonight, Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. We're in a commercial space, so don't look for a building with a steeple on it. You won't find us. Look for the door. at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200, and you'll see us there. All right, well, into the millennial kingdom. We left off last week, I believe, talking about the fact that it is 1,000 years long. And I've had people say, how do you know it's 1,000 years long? And I said, well, because it says it's 1,000 years long. It says it in Revelation chapter 20, several times, in fact. It says it in verse number 2, that it's that the devil is bound for 1,000 years. In verse 3, he's cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then in verse 4, the thrones and seats of judgment are set up. And we see those in the resurrection living and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. And then in verse 5, we see the fact that the rest of the dead are not going to be resurrected until the end of the 1,000 years. So you have the first resurrection, who are resurrected, and then the second resurrection will be those that are resurrected after the 1,000 years. And then in verse 6, it talks about the first resurrection again and the second death having no power on us, and also ruling and reigning with Christ, or reigning with Christ again for 1,000 years. And then in verse 7, it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And so that's, I believe, seven times in the first seven verses there, that the 1,000 years are thereabouts are represented. So it's pretty clear. It's not just a nebulous thousands of years or many years. It's specifically a 1,000 years. That's why we call it the millennial reign of Christ. Now, it's interesting to note who will go into this kingdom. Obviously, the armies of heaven that accompany Christ when the Lord returns at the end of the tribulation period at the Battle of Armageddon, and that will be the believers who have been caught up in the rapture to be with the Lord during the time that the tribulation is going on the earth. Believers have been caught up to be with the Lord in the air. It'll also include the Old Testament saints that are already with the Lord, and so the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints will all come back with the Lord at the end of the tribulation during the Battle of Armageddon, that great battle, and we will rule and reign with Christ during that 1,000-year reign of the millennial kingdom. That's will be a part of his government there, and that's why the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5, where it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sins, or from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're made kings and priests. That means we will rule and reign with him in his government, and not only in the civil side of it, but priest would cover the religious side of things, and we will be involved in his government. Say, wait a minute, that means it's a theocracy. Absolutely. Actually, I'll put it this way. It's a Christocracy, because Jesus Christ will sit on a throne in Jerusalem, where he will rule and reign over this world. And Israel will essentially become the center of the world government, with Jerusalem as the world capital, with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning there. And what I find to be really interesting is Ezekiel has some tremendous insights on the millennial kingdom, and we're not going to be able to hit everything here, but one of the things that Ezekiel talks about with regards to the millennial kingdom is the new temple that will be there. That's the third temple that we talk about. The third temple is going to be built either just before or during, probably early on in the tribulation period, if it's not built before the tribulation. Now, to build the temple, they've got a problem, because the Muslims control, Israel allows Jordan to administer the Temple Mount. And Jews are not allowed to pray on the Temple Mount or worship on the Temple Mount, nor are Christians. They used to have people who their job, they were Arab Muslims, their job was to interrupt anybody that looked like they were beginning to pray or sing, even silently, and because they didn't want any prayer, any worship, anything other than directed to Allah on the Temple Mount, because they have the Al-Aqsa Mosque there and the Dome of the Rock. A lot of people believe that the Jewish temple would be on the site of the Dome of the Rock. I personally think that's probably the most likely site, although some people have said it could be moved in between the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and there's been some other thoughts. Some people even suggested that really the Temple Mount is not the correct location. The real Temple Mount is in a different location. But that, whatever the case is, we do not have a physical temple right now. Now, believers, the Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in us and is tabernacled in us in that sense. But we're talking about a brick-and-mortar temple. It'll be rebuilt, and they will have sacrifices there. And I haven't heard anything about the red heifer that they need, because they need the ashes of the red heifer to consecrate the priests and different things. And they had two that seemed to be working out, and so they may have it ready to go. And many of the things for the temple are going to be ready, but the temple is going to suffer a great deal of damage during the tribulation period, not the least of which is going to be a tremendous earthquake that occurs toward the end of the tribulation period. And the earthquake is going to be so great that many things are going to be toppled, and there's going to be a number of cities completely destroyed. But it suggests that even Jerusalem itself is going to suffer greatly. It says here in Revelation 16 and verse 18, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mightily an earthquake and so great. And the great city, that would be Jerusalem, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And this is the description of the earthquake there. This is such as never been seen before. This would probably be the greatest earthquake that's rocked the world since the earthquake that probably set off at the time of the Great Flood as the fountains of the deep were opened up. So we don't know, except it's going to cause a lot of destruction, islands and mountains shaking and done away with and all of this. And there's going to apparently be an uplifting of the land. If you've ever been to Israel, I've not been there myself, but you go down into the Jordan Valley and you're going below sea level. The Dead Sea is below sea level. But there's an indication with the new temple in Ezekiel where it describes a new temple being built. And this will probably be a renovation, a repair, a restoration of the damage that's done to the third temple during the tribulation period, during the great earthquake, and it'll be built up. But the amazing thing with this new temple is that there's described in Ezekiel 47, and I don't have time to read through all of it, but it says, it starts in verse 1, "Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house," that's the temple, "and behold, waters issued out from under the house, the threshold of the house eastward." And he continues, "For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar." And it goes on to describe these waters that they go out, and it's ankle deep at first, and then it's thigh deep, and then it becomes something that you have to even swim over, and it flows down into the Dead Sea, bringing life to the waters, and the waters become filled with fish, it says in verse 10, "And it shall come to pass that the fishers still stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eglaim, and they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many." And it'll bring life. We'll have to pick this up again, Lord willing, next time. But there's a suggestion that this whole area is going to be uplifted and the waters may actually flow from the Dead Sea down into the Red Sea. So going to be some amazing things happening. But to get there, you need to know Christ as your Savior. I hope you know Christ as your Savior. You need Him today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join
You've
us next time.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.